Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're ready for Christmas. I realize if you're not, you're probably extremely late, and I'm glad I'm not you, I guess. But I do hope that you're not late for Christmas, and you're excited and prepared for tomorrow. I know our family came in the other night, and we have a fuller house, and so that's exciting to have people here together. If I don't see you before tomorrow, Merry Christmas, and just hope that you're able to enjoy time with your family this Christmas. If you're new, my name is Derek Van Ruler, and I'm the lead pastor here at Sunbury City Church. And each week, it's my joy to be able to open up God's Word and explain and see how it points to our life and time together. We're doing things a little bit different this morning. Typically, as Josh said, typically we're in the gym, but the heat is not working there, and I'm pretty sure that it's completely redirected to here because it's becoming a sweat box. So we're trying to fix that as well this morning. So if you're normally freezing, sorry about the extreme change. If you are new, come track me down afterwards. I'd love to say hi to you and tell you a little bit more about what we're doing here at Sunbury City Church. This morning, we're going to be in a passage in the book of John. So if you have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, there should be one under a chair around you. We'll also have a passage up on the screen this morning. But we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. I plan on not going long this morning, and I plan on keeping that promise. I really worked hard to keep it short, because I know the kiddos are in here, and there's just a lot of excitement going on. But we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And as you turn there, I want to tell you a little bit of a story that seems to connect for me this morning. Right now, we have two boys of our own that are able to communicate verbally with us. That's just been a fun time, especially with our three-year-old, because when he came, he wasn't able to communicate verbally, and now he is, and to see the growth has just been exciting for us. And part of that growth is just to be able to see the different questions that they ask. You know, at first they ask, what's that? What's that for? And then they kind of move into the who question, like, who's that? Or when is dinner? Or when's that? And then they graduate to the why question. I know everyone's different, but they graduate to the why question. Why are we doing this? Why are we going there? Why? Now, for some of us, even as adults, we never graduated beyond that, right? We're still asking, why? Because we want to try to figure out what is going on. We want to know. And if you're like me, when it comes to Christmas, I want to ask the why question. Why all the hoopla? Why the lights? Why the hundreds of dollars, tens of dollars, whatever you spend on Christmas, why? Seems like a lot. And perhaps you've been told that, hey, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and so that's why we celebrate Christmas. And yet, perhaps you're like me, that's not quite a satisfactory answer for me. Because, sure, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, but why would we celebrate his birth? Why is that so important for us? Because if Jesus is God, he could have done anything he wanted, however he wanted. So why would we celebrate Jesus' birth? And that's the question we're going to tackle today as we get into John chapter 1. We're going to look at and try to figure out, why did Jesus become man? That's what it means to incarnate, or the word incarnation, that God became man. And why did that happen? So as we tackle that in John chapter 1, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see Jesus' earthly life matters because his hide can save your hide. Okay? Jesus' earthly life matters because his hide, him putting on flesh, if you will, go with the analogy, his putting on flesh can actually save our behinds. I'll use that word for the kiddos today. He can actually save our hide. So why don't we jump into John chapter 1 and look at these verses this morning. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So this is a beautiful passage that we unfortunately don't have time to really dive into this morning. So we're just going to look at two major things this morning as we jump in. We're going to look at how Jesus' hide can save ours, and then how do we respond to that. So let's start with how Jesus' hide can save ours. And there's four reasons that Jesus becoming a human and putting on flesh is important for us. And in case I'm assuming anything here, what we celebrate at Christmas is that God became man. God put on human form and became a human. There's four reasons that that is vital and important for us today. Let's take a look at them. The first is that Jesus conquers our darkness. Jesus conquers our darkness. Look with me at verses 1 to 5. Here we see that John tells us that there is a word from the beginning, that at the beginning of creation, there is a word there with God at the beginning. The word is actually God, and yet the word is distinct from God. We're going to look more at that in a moment. But then John tells us that this word, according to verse 14, that this word became a human being. If you look back in verses 1 to 5, we see that this word had life. Again, we'll look at that in a moment, but this word had life for us, and the light was a light of men. And this word becoming life and coming into the world came to bring us light. It's a light that can shine in darkness and can overcome darkness. And so what John is saying here is that we live in a dark world, right? I mean, just turn on the news. We understand that we live in a dark, dark world. We're bombarded constantly of the evil around us. We're being shown what it looks like when we, as humans, try to live life on our own. So don't have to argue that. It's always before us. It's always something that we're constantly seeing. And so John is saying that we live in a dark place, that we live in this darkness. And what John tells us in his letter in 1 John is that we actually love this darkness. We desire it. We crave it. We want it. Any of you heard the idea of carpe diem? Seize the day. It's this idea that whatever you want, go and do it today. Enjoy your day. It's all about you. And John is saying that's the darkness that we live in. Because when we live life that way, we end up messing up our lives more and more, right? We end up making our lives worse than before, which means living in this darkness just means that we go further and further and further into the dark rabbit hole of sin that sucks our lives out without hope. And that's what we live in. That's what John is saying here about the darkness. And yet he tells us, he gives us hope, right? He gives us hope that with this word coming, this word brings light. And this word is able to shine into the darkness. And notice what he says at the end of verse 5. It says that the darkness has not overcome that light. That no matter what things that you've done, you know, this is a time of year that we often like to reflect on our year. If you're a kid, you're reflecting, have I been good enough? And Santa will bring me presents. If you're a parent, you're thinking about the new year. What do I want to change? What do I want to make different? And so we're filled with all the things that are in our minds to know that we have messed up, that we've screwed things up, and there's things that we want to keep hidden from everyone else that keep us from freely experiencing joy. And John says that when this word became flesh, light shined into those dark places, granting us a path back to joy and a path back to life. That by looking at the physical life of Jesus, we can see how he lived and we can actually enter into this new life because Jesus entered into our darkness, into all the dark things that we have in our life. Second thing that we see is that Jesus reveals our God. Look with me again at verses 1 to 5. John says that in the beginning. So I'm not sure what kind of background you have, but if you have any sort of Bible background, those words should ring something in your ears. That, hey, that just points back to something, right? This points back to the creation of the world at the very beginning of the Bible. That in the beginning, God created. And John is saying, in the beginning was the Word. He's saying at the very time that God was creating, this Word was there. This Word was a part of that creation. And this Word, as we've seen in John 14, becomes Jesus, puts on flesh, and reveals to us God. Notice what's happening. If you ever read the Old Testament, the first part of this book in our laps or hands or whatever, if you ever read that, you can read throughout the first part and think, okay, God is one. That's true. Yet we get to John chapter 1 and we hear for one of the first times that God is one, but God is three. We see that God the Father existed, God the Son, Jesus Christ, existed, and the Holy Spirit as well existed. So by Jesus coming in the flesh, we are given this picture of what is called the Trinity, that God is three persons, and yet he is one. It shows us a greater fullness of who God is. And on top of that, we see the eternality of Jesus Christ, that he has always been, that Jesus did not start in the womb of Mary, but he was before the world even began. That Jesus has always been and Jesus will always be. And so right there, we're getting a bigger vision of who God is. We're getting a vision of the multifaceted nature of who God is. And then jump down with me to verse 18. John essentially states the very point that I'm trying to make. John says that no one in the world has ever seen God. Maybe people have seen a cloud or fire, but they've never seen God until Jesus Christ came. They saw the physical presence of Jesus Christ, and in that, God was revealed. What God is like is shown to us. And I don't mean the color of our eyes or the color of our hair, but what God is actually like is shown to us when Jesus Christ comes. He shows us what it looks like to worship him, what it looks like to know him. Because when Jesus comes, he shows us more and a clearer picture of who God really is. And we can see that through John's gospel and through others. We you see the character of God. How many of you have ever read a book and then watched a movie? Okay, I'm not going to make fun of it, okay? But if the movie is done well and actually follows the book, it's interesting to see, right? Because the movie can give you sights and sounds and pictures that the book just was not able to convey to you. And that's what we see happens when Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. We had a perfect picture of God, and Jesus just gives us sights and sounds and an understanding of God more fully than before. And the third thing that we see is that Jesus redeems our hide. Look with me at verses 9 to 13. Jesus tells us here, or John tells us here, that the light has come into the world and that there are two reactions to this. There's the reaction of people who do not believe, don't want anything to do with this, those who have rejected him, and then there's those who believe and who trust and who follow him. And it's those that have the right to become children of God. It's these who believe in Jesus that have the right to be adopted into the family of God. How does that happen? It happens because in the Old Testament, what we see is that the way to be redeemed, the way to be purchased out of our slavery, out of our sin, is to actually get a lamb and sacrifice the lamb and have the blood be spilled to cover the sins of people. And at that, God would accept us and God would forgive us and bring us into a relationship with him. And if you keep reading in the New Testament, we read in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is that greater sacrifice. That Jesus really is that one who was killed, whose blood was spilled. He is the one who in his flesh, in his body, in his hide, if you will, is him who is able on the cross. On the cross when he's brutally tortured, it is him that is able to bring us back into a relationship with God. That according to verse 12 says that we can have the right to become children of God. We can be adopted by God because Jesus became a human. In God's design, Jesus became a human. Another human had to bear the wrath of God. And you and I could not do that. The Bible is full of stories of us being unable to do that. And God cannot just sit up in heaven and just say a quick word of forgiveness or wave a wand or say hocus pocus and say it's all gone. For him to be a holy God who hates sin, he must punish it. We know this, right? We're a culture that loves justice. If someone murders somebody else, we want justice. No matter what, we want somebody to pay for that. And God is a just God, saying somebody has to pay for that sin. And God found no other way to do it but to become a man himself, to put on flesh. Maybe at this time of year, you know, there's a lot of excitement. Christmas. What am I going to get? How are my kids going to respond? There's a lot of excitement going on. But in a couple of days, when all of that excitement wears off and you start thinking about the future, you're going to start to have this feeling inside that life isn't what I thought it was. And perhaps you're going to look back on your year and you're going to feel a ton of guilt over the things that you did. The things you've thought. The ways you've responded. And for Jesus Christ to become flesh and offer his flesh as a payment for all of that guilt, for all of those mistakes, for all of those sins, by doing that, he is able to remove that from you and give you the greatest Christmas present you could ever desire. A relationship with God. Fourth, we see that Jesus gives life to our dead souls. Jesus gives life to our dead souls. Look with me at verses 14 and 17. John says that Jesus came, that the Word became flesh. This word here that says that he became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, he set up the presence of God among us. Think about this for a moment. I know it's Christmas, so you're excited to be around your family. But parents, ever been so angry at your child you said, you need to leave or I need to leave? Because it's not going to go well if we're in the same room. Ever feel that before? They've done something so horrific that you're like, I just got to get out. I can't be around you. And that's what happens with our sin. Our sin is so horrific in the eyes of God, he cannot be around that. And so his presence had left the people. And what we see here in John 1:14 is that God has come back. God has returned. His presence has come in the form of Jesus. He literally set up the presence of God. And it's a presence that is full of grace and full of truth. John says here that it's the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There's a man in the first part of the Bible named Moses. You've probably heard of the Ten Commandments. He gave not only the Ten Commandments, but he gave 603 other commands. And those were meant to say, this is what it looks like for flourishing. This is what it looks like for you to experience a good, deep, right relationship with God where your life will be full of joy. But instead, what happened was because of our rebellious desires, we wanted nothing to do with that way of life. And so these laws actually brought condemnation. They brought judgment. And they left us in our sin and left us with an eternity away from God. But now, because Jesus has come on the scene, what we see is a few things. We see him showing us the right way to live by. Jesus showing us what it looks like to obey God and to please God. He taught us the ways to actually obey these commandments. But think about that. That's not enough, right? A good example, again, I don't want to beat the kid thing, but as a parent, you try to set an example for your kids. You can set all the examples that you want, but they don't always follow that example, right? It does not always work. We know rules, and yet we still break. So Jesus went further. Matthew 5:17 tells us that Jesus did not come to get rid of the law. He did not come to get rid of the Old Testament, but he came to actually fulfill the law. He came to obey every part of the law so that at the end of his life, he could exchange his perfect life for ours. So as he's hanging on the cross, when the Father looks at him, he can then offer that sacrifice to you and I. So that those of us who feel today, feel this year, feel in our lives that we've just messed up, we have tons of mistakes, God is offering on the cross the perfect life of Jesus given to us. That's the grace that we see him give. Because it's a free gift. It's a free gift that we get this perfect, blameless life to be put on us. And the result of that here states that we get eternal life. And we get eternal life with God. That when we die, if we have believed in Jesus, when we die, God will look at Jesus and say, he was perfect. And that perfection gets counted for you and I who live. Which means that we get to be with God forever. We get to be in the presence of the most glorious one. We get to be in the presence of the one who wants to give us all good things. The presence of the one who is the very definition of what good is. And we get to be with him forever. I don't want to premises, so I realize in a group like this that there might be some of us sitting here thinking, I don't care about God. He doesn't connect with my life whatsoever. It doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get who Jesus is. Or maybe you might be thinking, he's a nice add-on. It's Christmas. I'll add Jesus to my life. It's because, and I don't mean to be hurtful, but it's because you're dead to the things of God. Dead to the things of God. But what we see here in Jesus coming to life, in Jesus living on this earth, is that through his life, that when he dies, if we believe in him, we die with him. And as he rose from the dead, we can then be awakened to new life with God. We don't have to be dead anymore to the things of God. Our hearts can be stirred to love God and see him as greater than anything else. We can see how amazing he is. And we can see that we would have life with God forever. That can only happen because Jesus became a human. Not just any human, but the perfect human who died to give us his perfection. Think about this. If Jesus didn't live, there'd be no perfect human. Without a perfect human, there'd be no perfect sacrifice. Without a perfect sacrifice, there'd be no way to be right with God again. And we'd be doomed forever. But with Jesus coming on Christmas, with his entrance into the world, God was saying, I desire a relationship with you. I know that you cannot do it. I will do it on your behalf, if you believe. That's the hope of Christmas. Hope is not the Christmas present. The hope of Christmas is to fix the biggest problem you and I have, and that is a broken relationship with the Almighty God of the entire universe, galaxy, whatever else scientists have found out there. To fix that relationship. And God knew we couldn't do it, so he did it for us. So how do we respond to that? What do we do as a result? And there's two things I'm going to close with this morning. The first is that we believe in Jesus. Verse 12 tells us these truths can bring us into the family of God only if we believe in the name of Christ. If we come to believe fully that Jesus is God, that he's fully God and fully man, and that he was perfect, that he never disobeyed the ways of God, and believe that he really does shine his light into our dark places, and he really did die on the cross for our punishment, and he really did come back to life to bring us to God. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to encourage you to believe in Jesus. I want to encourage you not to leave this room before entrusting your life, your future, your everything to Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian this morning, I want you to be reminded of all that Jesus has done for you. There's an old hymn that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Is so true of our lives. We are so prone to leave the very God that we love, and we are so prone to running back to good works, running back to the things that we can do, running back to achieving success, yet we cannot do it. There's just no way. So we get to rest in Jesus Christ. I want to remind you to rest in Jesus. And lastly, we receive Jesus. We receive him. We don't just believe in him. We receive him. We see him as a treasure. We see him as more beautiful than anything else in this world. We see how amazing he is. We see how our lives would be nothing without him. We see his light shining into our lives and we rejoice at that site. And we do not reject him as the world did in verses 10 and 11. But we trust him. We live our lives and we keep fighting to have our lives based on him entirely. And how do we do that? We have to remind ourselves constantly of the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. We need to sing songs about him. We need to love him in his word and to be seeing him. When we gather, we need to be reminding each other of how good God is, how awesome he has been to you and I this week. I don't know about you, but it's so much easier for me to complain about life. But when I take a few minutes to take a step back and see God and what he has done, my heart is just changed to one of awe. We need to do that. We need to talk with him. Talk to him in prayer, but talk with others about Jesus. Because as we do that, our hearts get stirred to know and treasure and trust Jesus all the more. So why did Jesus become man? And why is that important? Because you and I have incredible dark places in our lives, and we need Jesus to shine his light upon us. Because Jesus shows us who God is and how to worship and love that God. Jesus gives his life for us so that we can be with him forever. And he gives us that eternal. Question this Christmas is, how will you respond to that? Is this just some sort of old Christmas tale? Like my family, perhaps you get the kids around and you read the Christmas story, and it's just a nice story. Kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. It's a nice movie. Some people say I don't like it. But, you know, that's a nice Christmas movie. You put that on. This is a nice Christmas story. You read that. Is it just a nice Christmas story? Or will it become your spiritual lifeblood pulsating in you, stirring you to love and to see and to treasure and to desire Jesus Christ? Because he became man. And he gave himself to us. How will you respond? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your plan all along to bring Jesus Christ in the world. I could not imagine what that would have felt like, what that would have been like, to create something and then to become that very thing you've created, only to be rejected by those you've created. Yet that did not detour you from the final destination of going to the cross, of living a perfect life, of honoring the Father, and bringing us to a relationship with God. I pray for those in this room today that do not know you, or may have been playing games with you for years. Holy Spirit, would you convict us and show us the truth? Show us Jesus, that we may know you and worship you. And for those of us who truly follow you, in the midst of all the other things going on today and tomorrow, may we not lose sight of who you are. We pray. In your name. Amen.